13 Questions by Man Transcending. Manhood in the Digital Age.
Welcome back to 13 Questions. This week we have with us Jeffrey Wilson. I really enjoyed doing this episode. It got me thinking. One of the things that Jeffrey said that I can't get out of my mind is transcending the tribal lines. Also, if you've ever thought about getting into podcasting, this episode might just make you take the jump. It certainly has inspired me to get back in. I'm back doing it, but really kind of light a fire underneath my own butt. So I hope that this episode inspires you the same. So, who is Jeffrey Wilson, you ask? Well, Jeffrey Wilson is a native of the Quad Cities. After graduating from Columbia College in Chicago, Jeffrey went on to work many years in TV and film production. Following that work, Jeffrey was signed to a talent agency and began doing commercial voiceover work. Clients including the U.S. Department of Defense, Boeing, McDonald's, and many more. Jeffrey has been involved with camera work as well as appearing in regional ads for Missouri Tourism, a national commercial for Verizon Wireless, and also appearing in the hit TV show Burn Notice. A few years ago, Jeffrey started his own podcast called It's Me Spoken to You. It was a show where he had on a variety of celebrities and non-celebrity guests discussing a variety of issues. The first guest was a UFC Hall of Famer, Pat Miletich. Pat Miletich went on to appear on several shows, and he went on to appear several times on that show. Following his last appearance, Pat asked Jeffrey to do a podcast with him called The Conspiracy Farm. That show has gone on to be heard by in hundreds of countries with millions of listeners. From this success, Pat and Jeffrey start another podcast called Everything Combat, because life is a fight. We've had on former heavyweight boxing champion George Foreman, amateur wrestling legend Dan Gable, former WCW head and former manager of WWE Raw Eric Bischoff, former SEAL Micah Fink, and more. Pat and Jeffrey look forward to continuing both shows. Yes, they do. He is certainly a busy man, and yeah, I love how they go diving into corners of the world that most people just don't look at. So, if you would like to hear more of Jeffrey after the first 13 questions, if you'd like to hear the bonus questions, or get access to TJ Walker's communication courses, you should go over to 13questionspodcast.com. You're also going to get access to prompted writing courses that are sent out weekly. We've got community forums. And, well, if you want to record your own episode, you could do that as well, which I encourage you to do, especially if this episode lights a fire underneath your butt, too. If you know somebody that when you listen to these episodes, that you think of because you wonder how they navigate their life and you want to know how they answer these questions, then ask them those questions. And if the audio is good and if you need pointers, I'm here to help. Reach out. We'll put it in the feed. You'll get to go up here right next to Jeffrey. So I look forward to hearing you out there. I really look forward to hearing the people that you want to hear, because like tonight, I re-listened to this episode and it's not that I thoroughly enjoyed it. It inspired me. So I want to be inspired by you. Thank you guys for listening. Enjoy Jeffrey. Today we have Jeffrey Wilson here to answer the 13 questions. We're going to jump through the first 13 insightful questions, and then we're going to hit a bonus round and, you know, maybe talk about the process of how it was for Jeff answering. All right, Jeff, you ready?
I am ready, sir. Thank you.
Awesome. Question one, what was the best advice ever given to you, and would you modify it today?
I would have to say we're somewhat friends because I've had him on. I've interviewed him twice. The guy's name is C.T. Fletcher. Mm. He is a former world record breaking power lifter. Basically, it was kind of indirect advice, but basically unchain your mind and to are we able to cuss on here?
Oh, yes. Yeah, we have an explicit setting.
All right. Unchain your mind and to fuck fear.
I like it. Now, is that...
Long story short.
Yeah, was it just an offhand thing that he said, or was it part of one of his...
No, this is... I mean, if you listen to C.T. Fletcher's videos, they're very, very motivational. When I used to work out a lot more, I would just watch C.T. on my off days, and by the end of the video, I'd have my gym bag in hand and out the door. He was just very inspirational, man, and it was very poignant at a certain point in time in my life where, you know, we all kind of have our fight in life, so I was just going through some stuff. And, you know, it's kind of like a lot of people, man. A lot of people sometimes don't do what they really want to do because there's a fear element involved. And that was kind of what I was going through, man. There's some certain things I wanted to do, but I just couldn't get out of my own way. But through listening to him and just some other things. But yeah, through definitely listening to him and a certain video, it's called Unchain Your Mind. It just lit a spark and flipped that switch. And it's been off to the races since then.
Oh, that's awesome. I love hearing that because in a world of disconnection where, you know, social media keeps people from making those connections, you have somebody like that who can make a connection among hundreds of thousands of people where he wouldn't have been able to before. That's
absolutely. Cool. And again, I mean, oftentimes we get certain advice from people, but it's up to really us to take the advice and really do something with it because otherwise.
Oh, I lost you. All right. So sorry for the interruption there.
It's quite all right. Quite all right.
So would you modify any of that today?
I wish I had. I try not to beat myself up about certain things that happen at certain times in life. You know, I think it's just no matter when it happens, it's no matter what stage we are in life, those are just different stages of development. You know, we wish we could have did this and this. So, I mean, part of me wishes I had kind of heeded that advice a little earlier in life, but who knows? I may not be where I'm at right now if I, you know, who knows what would have happened.
What was the most important lesson you learned from your parents?
It's a good one. Well, I mean, there's a lot of it, really. There's really no supplement for hard work. I mean, my parents both worked. My mom a government job up every morning at 5 o'clock. My dad working multiple 16-hour shifts, doing what he was doing to kind of provide us. You know, really, you know, three brothers and sisters, and we were able to do the cool stuff: Universal Studios, Disneyland, et cetera, et cetera. But yeah, you know, my mom, I was just talking to her the other day. It's like, you know, working as much as she was, got a master's degree, et cetera, et cetera. And just, that was something that's really, really impacted me, especially as I've kind of gone on building these podcasts, building a brand, building a business, and really having it start to come to fruition and starting to really reap the benefits of it. But, you know, a lot of hard work had to be put into it before, you know, it's always darkest before the dawn. But yeah, my parents definitely taught that, yeah, there's really no substitute for hard work. You got to earn it. And if it's something you're passionate about, you know, work is going to be anything in life. But if something you're passionate about, hard work's going to be a part of it.
What book has been most influential on your life and why?
What book? Unfortunately, I do read, but I just, let me try to think. That sounded horrible. I don't read much. I'm trying to think when the last book I read was, cause I don't read often, but I'd have to say, that's a good one. I'd have to go back on some of these awesome ones. I'd have to say one of them just off the top of my head, thinking about it, is a book, by a guy named Zbigniew Brzezinski called The Grand Chessboard. As an individual who's always been into like geopolitics and politics, history, That book was very, very insightful to geopolitics and history and how it really is a chessboard. And there's just a lot of going on oftentimes that we don't really see behind the scenes. And that book, among kind of other ones, because I was always into like covert action, CIA, but that one in particular just kind of gave really kind of inside baseball on how things often work behind the scenes as it relates to geopolitics.
How old were you when you read that?
That was, oh man, probably mid-20s.
It's a good time to read it. I was fully indoctrinated still then.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, not to steer too far off, but as a young kid, 15, 16, I really got into the Kennedy assassination. So just kind of learning about that and just reading the grand chessboard kind of augment the understanding of what was going on in the conspiracy or in the JFK situation. And then it just made it more absurd when you start reading, like I said, the inside baseball and things. Not that that book talked about the Kennedy assassination, but how they fed us Lee Harvey Oswald when in fact so much more was going on behind the scenes that had nothing to do with that guy.
Phenomenal. That's a great read then.
For sure. What, highly recommended.
What daily habits or rituals do you have, and do you recommend them for others?
Rituals. I wouldn't necessarily call them rituals per se, but I definitely lately it's been kind of starting my day with supplements, good supplements. And, you know, I've been a lot more conscious about my health and, you know, just not getting too far off into that, but like the food is just really bad that we eat. So I really try to start my day and fill the engine with really, really good stuff to help it fuel the machine, you know, have it running at the most optimum level. So I really try to drink a lot of water infused with the stuff from one of our sponsors called Green 85 from Chemical Free Body, as well as, you know, just learning more about health, man, gut health. I really had no idea how important gut health was because I was kind of going through some health stuff and a lot of it had to do with what I was eating, processed foods, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, just learning more about the gut, man, there's more serotonin produced in our gut than in our brain. And just kind of getting the day started right with the right fuel, basically. It's what I try to do anyway. Most of the time I do, yeah.
Oh, makes sense. Yeah. What you put in your stomach affects your brain and everything else in your body. So
yes,
if you throw mud into your system instead of giving it the nutrition it needs, you're just doing yourself no service.
Yeah. I mean, you can't run a Formula One race car off sugar water, you know, so it's gotta be the right fuel.
If I were to ask your best friend, what is the one thing they would say you need to work on the most and why?
Well, it's interesting because I just had a conversation with my best friend about kind of what we were alluding to before. He has always had my back as far as, you know, my business ventures, my career. I'm also an actor, voiceover actor, et cetera, et cetera. I kind of was at one time. I've somewhat steered away from that a little bit. But one of the components that he kind of thought, and we talked about why I wasn't pushing as hard as I was in the acting world, was fear. And so that was really a point of contention with us because he felt, and I appreciate that, you know, believed that I had way more talent than I was accessing. And he felt that it was a fear. There was an aspect of fear to that, which, you know, at a certain point in time not long ago, that was absolutely true. And I mean, not to say I'm just free from fear, but so much of what I've been able to do, whether it's my own podcast, it's me speaking to you, or the one I do with Pat Miletich, the Conspiracy Farm, or Everything Combat, being able to talk to like a George Foreman, or, you know, to be able to have these conversations, you really, you know, there really can't be a lot of fear, maybe a little nervousness, but the notion of, man, I can't do that. I can't, you know, that notion of I can't is a lot of that is gone from me.
Yeah. And you've had the time to keep doing it so that it's kind of hard to be fearful of the thing that you're walking into every day.
Yeah. I mean, and to get the kind of affirmations that we've got, you know, at least like the Conspiracy Farm, it's, you know, we get messages all over Romania, Isle of Man, Nigeria. I mean, just all over the world. And it's just quite humbling from somebody who's like had to fight fear and, man, I can't do that, I can't do this, to really, you know, have your successes kind of affirmed, if you will, has been powerful, man. It really has been.
Well, that's great. And to see that you guys are having success while, you know, exposing truths and things that people don't want exposed. So yeah,
right.
You get to kind of follow that path and be successful while doing it. It's great.
Right. When it's something I've always had a passion for, you know, like I said, going back to the Kennedy stuff, that's why when I was doing my own show for about a year or so, you know, it's me speaking to you. It was just me talking, kind of modeled after Joe Rogan a little bit, just celebrity, non-celebrity guests, just talking about a variety of stuff. And then he was my first guest and had him on multiple times after that. And then when he asked me after his last appearance, do you want to do this Conspiracy Farm show with me? I really thought he was fucking with me and ribbing me. So it took me a couple of weeks to get like, no, dude, he wants you to do this, you know? So that was really cool. That was really cool.
That's great. What are you most curious about?
How do I say it? Ancient stuff, ancient mysteries, ancient civilizations. I think I've come to kind of realize civilizations have kind of come and gone many times over the course of several hundred thousand years of varying heights and varying degrees. And it's very curious to me how we don't get that information necessarily. We think we came from these, knuckle dragging apes to how cool we are now. When in fact, like, nothing can be further from the truth. There's so much that I've read, and there is out there in these ancient scriptures and these ancient texts that really show, like what Graham Hancock says, we're a civilization, we're a species with amnesia. So yeah, learning about stuff that kind of been hidden and forgotten, and I find that very fascinating to me, because it is oftentimes very contrary to what we are taught in our history books and kind of mainstream history, et cetera, et cetera.
And you're living during the perfect time, a day where, even though there's obfuscation on the internet and a lot of false stuff out there, you can still freely share that information and get access to it. And we have technologies like LIDAR, which are exposed in the Amazon jungles and different places, and these vast civilizations that disappeared, within a few hundred years, that people just, didn't know they existed because they just got swallowed up by nature.
Yeah, absolutely. Very fascinating stuff.
What was the most embarrassing or humiliating experience of your life?
That's a tough one. I don't know. I'm going to have to go back in the mental Rolodex here. Most embarrassing. I mean, it wasn't of my life, but I just something embarrassing just came to my mind. You're looking for the most paramount of embarrassment. So, geez, man.
Yeah, it doesn't even necessarily have to be that. Just, something that affected you. And it's okay if there is nothing.
It just happened to come to my mind because it was just like, it was crazy at the time. I think I was in like fourth or fifth grade in my math class. And Mrs. Reams, she hated me anyway. But I had a cold or something, but I was straight knuckle deep digging in my nose, dude. And it was just ugly. It was ugly. It wasn't something small and simple and I just wiped it under the desk. I was like, it was just nasty. You know what I mean? I needed to get my ass up and get some Kleenex. And she calls on me, Jeff Wilson, come to the board or whatever it was. What's the answer to this? And I'm just like hands full of snot. And it's just. Looking back on it, clearly it's kind of funny, but at the moment it was all eyes were on me, booger face and all.
What is your greatest fear and how did you overcome it?
Man. Looting back to what I was saying before, just being in my own head, we oftentimes have that like, no, I can't. No, there's no way I can do that. That's for somebody else. And so that oftentimes that doubt record, it's oftentimes gets played on repeat in our head. And like I was saying before, it's tough to get out of our own way. And, a big part of it was, like I said, my best friend, like we didn't talk for like three or four years for several years. Cause he was pissed that I was not.
Wow.
I was not tapping into my gifts. I was not. Yeah, it was heavy. So, and then, like I said, it was kind of a slow roll. You know what I mean? It was one of those, like I said, the process of getting out of my own way was a slow one. And it really, like I said, got encapsulated by that C.T. Fletcher video, which, the way he laid it out, it was just so awesome. Just unchain your mind. So, I mean, within like a few weeks or a couple months, I just began to kind of unfuck myself. I had produced a show here in St. Louis. It was basically a talk show called The Hot Seat. And so it was just basically a pro and a con on whatever given issue. So one was legalizing weed. One was guns. And I hired this guy who I thought was, really good, really talented at what he did to host the show. I produced it. He hosted it. And it was one of those afterwards, I was just like, I totally could have done that. I just was in my own head still. And then literally, this is like almost literally, I woke up one day, sat up in my bed and said, I can do that. Or maybe it was like, I'm going to do that, or something to the effect of like, why would you totally could do that. You know what I mean? And it was just, that's when I started my podcast. It's me speaking to you. It was just, it just like, again, getting out of my own way, man. And again, having a success when I first was like, man, I want to get Pat Miletich on because I'm a huge MMA fan. And people were like, dude, it's Pat Miletich. You haven't even done an episode. There's no way. And, you know, everyone was projecting their fear onto me. And I was like, yeah, maybe I can't. And then having him on, and then 3-4 times, and then other UFC legends and Hall of Famers and actors who have been in like iconic movies, et cetera. So I had certain successes affirmed, and that, you know, that helped, you know, get the wind behind my back and put some pep in my step.
Yeah, you'll never get a podcast with him. Meanwhile, you're podcasting weekly with him.
And that's the crazy thing. And that's what, now looking back 3, 4, 5 years later, the power of that switch getting flipped and getting on my own way has created, like, it's just a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful thing. So whatever it is you're going for, whatever is podcasting or whatever, you know, don't ever tell yourself you can't do it. And don't ever listen to people project their fears onto you. Oh, you can't do this or you can't do that. That's usually their projection and their own insecurities because they can't do it. And so when you do it, it really is a powerful thing. Really is powerful.
What quality do you most admire in a man, and why?
It kind of covers a lot of things, but reliability, and encompassed in that is basically like trustworthiness, friendship. You're asking for one kind of quality, but when I say reliable, like reliable to be a good friend, tell me maybe stuff I don't want to hear. Be reliable, do the things you say you're going to do. You know what I mean? Just there's a lot of things that fall under that umbrella of reliability, reliable friendship.
It can be the most amazing, whatever, but if you're not there to use those skills, then what good are they?
Yeah. I mean, and just, you know, certain level of, reliability, not just to me, reliability to your loved ones, your families, your other friends, you know, having some integrity, et cetera, et cetera. I think a lot of that kind of, for me, falls under that umbrella of reliability.
Now, you may have answered this one already before, but who were or are your role models and why?
Well, I mean, again, going back to my parents, man, they kind of set the bar. Even though I might not have followed it every time, you know, looking back on it, you know, they definitely showed what the benefits of hard work and what that can get you.
Is
it just one person or like a group?
Oh, no.
You know,
these are free form. There's nothing constraining here. No right answers, no wrong answers.
Yeah. You know, like I said, my parents that set the template, if you will. Pat Miletich, like, again, being in my own head of fear and mind fucking myself, to have somebody like Pat on his level, for lack of a better term, believe in me. That was big. Like that was another big thing. Even if, you know, the show wasn't necessarily successful. I mean, it is, but I mean, he at least was like, you know, saw something in me to be like, yo, man, let's take this thing to the next level or whatever. But again, see, at that time I could see it in myself, but you know, he saw something in me that at a certain point in time I couldn't even see in myself. Like I said, it did take me a couple of weeks for me to believe that he was asking me to do the show with him, but that, you know, kind of the remnants of me mind fucking myself. But Patrick Miletich, I mean, I've just met some incredible people doing the show too, like CT Fletcher. You know what I mean? I don't know if you know who that is, but his hashtag is it's basically the letters of "it's still your motherfucking set." Like I say, he's a powerlifting weightlifter,
guy's former power.
What's that?
He's a beast.
He's an absolute beast. He's amazing. But you know, he flatlined twice when he was a little younger, has had heart issues forever. And so when we just had him on, he had just had another heart attack and a heart transplant. So now, right now, he's fighting back and he's better now, but after receiving a new heart. So basically that "it's still your motherfucking set" is all about whatever it is you're going through in life. Don't quit. Step the fuck up, because it's still your motherfucking set. And that, I mean, that's just powerful shit. I'm thinking about it right now. Just like, you know, I always kind of use the joke when people complain. I'm like, listen, man, you're not a Chilean coal miner. You know what I mean? There's worse places in the world to be. There's worse jobs to do. You know, just And that's another thing I can't really stand is kind of self-defeatist people and negative people, et cetera, et cetera. But the power of that statement of just like not giving up, man, it's still your motherfucking set. Whatever's going on, like Patrick, my boy, says, man, no problems, only solutions. And that mindset, dude, that mindset is really, you don't look at things like there's no failure. I don't look at shit as failure necessarily. It's just opportunities to learn. You know what I mean? It's like, it's easy to be like, man, I failed. So, you know, pump or hit the brakes. I can't do that anymore because I failed this one or two times. You know, I'm an actor, dude. I go to auditions all the time and I'm told no all the time. That doesn't make me throw my towel in on acting. It's like, no is a part of, you know, stumbles, mm-hmm. no, you know, mistakes. I mean, it's all processes and opportunities to learn if you look at it that way.
Yeah. If everything's a hammer, it's a hammer. But if everything's an opportunity, then, or I'm sorry, if everything's a hammer, everything's a, no, what, oh, what's that phrase?
Yeah,
if you're a hammer,
yeah. If everything's a nail, you're the hammer.
Exactly. But, you know, if you put that into opportunity, then, you know, you'll just see all the opportunities around you.
Absolutely. And that's nothing's more been more true than over the last few years doing this. It's, like I said, it's crazy. The people I've been able to meet, have conversations with, it's just absolutely crazy. And like I said, again, the messages we get from all over the freaking world, it's just... The guy who reads those messages thinks back to the guy who's like, man, there's no way I could ever do this. I mean, they're clearly night and day, two different human beings, but the growth and the progress that's been made from that guy who was in his own head to the guy who's doing this stuff now and the love and the feedback we've been getting. And just like I said, being able to meet XYZ people and personalities, it's awesome. Super humbling, man. I always try to keep humble pie on my plate because I know where I came from. Like you know what I mean? It's been a slow and steady process, but at the end of the day, it's still, I'd like to look at it as like, I'm hopefully evolving and progressing as a human being.
Yeah. You're going to be a totally new person in 10 years from now.
Well, yeah, hopefully. It's like, hopefully we're not, whatever we're doing, hopefully not stuck, you know, being the same person as now as we are 10 years from now, but yeah.
What institution of society or structural aspect of modern life would you change given the chance?
Aspect of society?
Mm-hmm. Any aspect. It's basically the God question. You could change one thing in society to make it better. What would you choose?
That's kind of a, well, kind of going back to the ancient civilization stuff. I really, and even some of the political stuff, you know what I mean? Like we get lied to without fail, whether it's government or religious institutions, et cetera, et cetera. I just wish there was more truth coming out of these institutions that really help us and more embrace humanity, if you will, as opposed to lying to us to, you know, justify more wars. You know what I mean? I know that's kind of might sound convoluted, but I just wish there was more kind of an elevation of consciousness, again, that helps us embrace our higher selves as opposed to, you know, because right now I just think I look at our society globally as like, I don't know if you've seen the movie The Matrix, but like Morpheus holding up the battery. Like that's what we are. We're just fuels for the machine. People trampling each other for new Jordans or Black Friday sales. You know what I mean? I guess I just wish we were better to each other. I mean, if that's something.
Oh, yeah. No, I love that. The idea of just people being truthful. If you could institute that, you know, you wouldn't have all the controversies over big pharma right. And all these. Just name an issue in society. If the truth is the truth, people would be able to decide based on its face value, not
yes.
on yes. teams or, you know, what they should believe, what they've been tricked into believing.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. The PSYOP, if you will, and it encompasses so many different things. But and this honestly goes back to, you know, a conversation we've had in some of the ancient civilization stuff going back to the war. This might whatever you can people can look this up. But the war between these ancient gods, quote unquote gods, called Enlil and Enki. So the direction of humanity was decided thousands and thousands and thousands of years ago. You had one side, Enki side, who was wanting to embrace humanity and embrace the gifts of humanity. And then you had the Enlil side that just wanted, you know, war and, you know, like I said, just to have us be batteries and fuels to the machine.
A never-changing story.
It definitely doesn't. We're seeing it play out. Here we are knocking on Venezuela's door, knocking on Iran's door, reading from the same fucking playbook.
What is the most courageous thing you have ever done in your life or seen?
Oh, man. Done or seen. Most courageous. My goodness. Damn, you're making me dust off the brain cells here. Most courageous. Seen personally?
Seen. Yeah, doesn't matter.
Seen or heard of?
Yeah, doesn't matter. I don't know. When I experience a courageous thing, I don't know, it affects me. So
I know it probably happens more than just any individual incident. And I don't mean to take the long way around to answer this question, but going back to what we just said about having truth and not being divided into groups, et cetera, et cetera. I find courageous, you know, in a natural disaster, 9/11, flooding or whatever, when people are stranded in their homes and water's rising and someone comes to save them, they don't ask them, hey, are you Republican or Democrat? Mm-hmm. Are you red, you know, whatever. Yeah. The humanity is what
all of that goes away. Are you a convicted
humanity
felon?
Transcends. I'm sorry.
I was like, are you a convicted felon? Like,
yeah,
that kind of stuff goes out the window.
Are you a registered sex offender? Like, so, I mean, not to say it's necessarily correct. It is pretty courageous because people oftentimes risk their life to save human beings, a fellow human being, like I said, without qualifying it. Hey, what side are you on? I think that's courageous. And I wish people would have the courage that when the things are rebuilt from natural disasters or floods, that we still maintain that humanity, but we don't. We kind of just go back to our tribes. So courage for me is when I see it, transcending those tribal lines. Mm. To be able to recognize the larger humanity and everything. You know what I mean? It's something we definitely need more of. So when people do break those lines down, I do find that very courageous because some people are like, hey, what are you talking to them for? What are you having? Whatever it is. You know what I mean? We're oftentimes kept in the, I don't know if you remember the story of the Sneetches by Dr. Seuss.
No, I'm not familiar with that one.
Oh, okay. So they're basically all these just basically yellow Muppet looking things, but some of them have green stars on their belly and some don't. They're all Sneetches, but one with the stars think they're so much cooler than the other Sneetches. So this guy rolls into town, Professor McMonkey McBean, with a machine that can put stars on your belly. So he rolls up to these starless Sneetches like, dude, you give me some money, I'll have you put stars on your belly and you'll be cool like these other guys. So this like whole... in, you know, assembly line of Sneetches start going into this guy's machine and getting stars put on their belly. When they come out, the original Sneetches with stars on are like, what the fuck, dude? That's insane. That's bullshit. We're the original stars. And then so they go into McMonkey McBean's machine and get their stars off their belly. So the whole thing is there's this huge, huge assembly line of both going in and out, stars on, stars off, stars on, stars off. And so the end of the line is when every last cent of their money was spent, the fix-it-up Chappie packed up, and he went. And he laughed as he drove down the beach. You can never teach a Sneetch. So it's just the larger commentary of, like, we think we're so different because of whatever, melanin in our skin or our language or whatever, but we're all just fucking human beings, man. And it's like, what is it going to take for us to see that? And that's kind of going back to what your original question. People do often see that in the face of disaster. The disaster in humanity transcends all of that shit when you know, lives are at stake or when disaster strikes. But unfortunately, that isn't sustained. So to answer kind of your question, I'm a long way around, but people who have just the courage to transcend their social caste, their group, whatever it is, to just be human fucking. That doesn't say you can't have a great culture, great heritage, whatever. That's awesome. But we're human beings first, man, before any of that.
No, I love that. You know, when your house is washed away, you're not worrying about your mortgage. You're worrying about survival.
Yes.
Everything gets flipped. You become the person that's needed to survive in the corporate world is a completely different person than is going to save somebody in a flooded building.
Yeah. Yeah. And it just sucks that it has to be those kind of dire circumstances for us to get to that level.
What rule do you have for yourself that you never break? And why do you think that is important?
Anymore for me? You've seen War Games, right? The movie War Games?
Absolutely. It's a classic.
Yes. So, and this encompasses a lot of things in my life anymore. The best way to win is not to play. And so for me, it's like I get comments all the time on, you know, or just whatever it is. If an ex-girlfriend or girlfriend like, Jeff, you know, whatever mischaracterization, you're a jerk, whatever, whatever. I'm not spending any energy countering your mischaracterization. Not that I don't care, but I'm not going to let you define who I know who I am. That's cool. If you have an errant opinion on me, that's what's up. I'm with it. Or the comments on, you know, the YouTube pages. You guys are blah, 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 blah. My co-host can't say that. He loves to go the back and forth. I'm not saying I don't give a fuck, but I just don't. I have no energy, again, to. I mean, if you want to have a dialogue with me and exchange ideas, et cetera, et cetera. We do that all the time, and I'm totally with that. And we can even disagree, you know, this and that. I'm not saying I don't. I only talk to you if you agree with me. That's not what I'm saying at all. But again, when you cast aspersions onto me or talk shit or whatever it is, I just don't have the energy to retort to you. That doesn't mean I'm better than you or anything else. I just don't have the energy, like I said, to.
Yeah, you like doing things that are enjoyable and getting into an argument. I'm the same way.
Yeah.
But if, you know, you're having a civil discourse, you know, people are, you know, at least you can learn. You can learn from each other and expand the conversation, find out where maybe you're not so strong in your facts. Maybe you're wrong. And that's right, absolutely. That's a beautiful thing. But yeah, when somebody starts yelling at you, I just shut down.
I don't even really shut. I mean, I just keep it moving. You know what I mean? I'll listen. Hey, you. Yeah, it's cool. I appreciate that. Or, you know, I'm sorry you feel that way. That you might be able to get that out of me. But like me saying, oh, no. I didn't do that. What I really did was, blah, blah. I mean, I don't, you know. Again, not to say I'm better than anything or whatever, but it's just like when I know that what you're saying is not true or whatever, I have just no energy to correct errant characterizations or mischaracterizations or whatever. And like I said, that transcends into not just relationship, just kind of just general life, man. It's life is way too short to spend your time dealing with negative energy and shit. So it's like, got to keep it moving, man.
That's right.
Got to keep it moving.
Stay out of the YouTube comments.
Yes. Got to stay in the light, brother. Got to stay in the light the best I can.
All right, Jeffrey. Well, that was the end of the first 13 questions.
That went quick.
Yeah. It's always goes fast when you're having fun. We're going to come back with some bonus questions, but before we do, I want to let everybody know that they can go and learn more about us at 13questionspodcast.com. You can go over there. You can become a member. You're going to get access to the premium members feed and website. That includes $200 in communication and writing courses by TJ Walker. Really good. Oh gosh, I think there's something like 16 or 20 hours worth of material there. You also get prompted journaling exercises that are sent out to you in the email if you'd like to sign up for those. We've got community forums. And of course, you get the questions that are coming right up now. So thank you everybody for joining us. All right, Jeff, you ready to go into the bonus round?
Let's do these things.
Sweet. What would you tell your teenage self?
Don't fuck off for too long. Life is too short. Did a lot of fucking off as a young man.
You mean not even paying attention to things that interested you? Just
no, I did. I just didn't. I was just never applying it. I was never. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was just never really putting it together to do something with it. I mean, not to its like maximum level, not sustained, really, really grinding out like I have been the last, you know, 10 years or so. But, you know, and I don't mind balancing it out, you know, party down, do your thing, travel. You know, I traveled when I was a kid and all that other good stuff. I mean, but just have a balance, strike a balance. I didn't do that. I didn't strike a balance. I wasn't partying and then grinding out, you know, something substantive to build my life on or whatever. It was more just, and when I'd say partying, like not literal, I mean, some of it was just partying, smoking weed, drinking or whatever, but it was just not taking the time that I had seriously. Cause I mean, I just, you know, even in my younger days, I was still into a lot of this kind of stuff, and it's really weird because back in the day when I was young, and this sounds crazy, this lets you know how old I am, I wanted to start a newsletter. This is really kind of before the internet. I wanted to start a newsletter called The Conspiracy Theory. And here I am doing a podcast with Pat. And it was on him to cause for the name called The Conspiracy Farm. So, yeah, long story short, just, you know, not spend so much time wasting time.
Fantastic. What turns you on creatively, spiritually, or emotionally?
Love, man. I know it sounds stupid, but love. I mean, we human beings, we resonate at a certain level, you know, from a frequency standpoint. And when you're into like negativity, you're just resonating at just a lower level, man. And again, going back to humanity, embracing humanity, when people can just basically follow the golden rule, man, I know it sounds silly, but when people could just treat other people the way they want to be treated, and just seeing people being good to each other, again, sounds corny and silly, but it's, I mean, cause seeing the world we're in now, like, you don't see that much. But yeah, man, I mean, for me, it's about having as much love in the club as possible, man.
What is your single greatest driving force in life, and what do you do to try to further it?
Well, again, you know, trying to get out of my own way to be the best me I can be. I'm saying these kind of cliched one-liners, but that's just, it's really true, man. It's really true. Just to, on a daily basis, be the best day, be the best Jeff this day than I was the day before. And, oh, you know, how do I keep pursuing it, or how do I keep cultivating that, is just always staying open, man. When I mean open, just kind of open to learn, and just, especially with kind of the podcast, that's kind of our bread and butter and my heart and soul right now. So it's going on a YouTube bender or whatever, going down that rabbit hole and just learning new stuff. Oh man, I got to get that guest on, or this information could really be enlightening to people, et cetera, et cetera. So again, each day, man, just trying to, I used to play video games a lot. I know I could spend like 36 hours at a time doing it, and I could just be spending so much more of that time doing so much more constructive stuff that, like I said, pushes me in the direction of kind of being the best me. And that's sometimes difficult, but always on the table of just, you know, trying to make the best decisions to be the best me, to create the best quality of life I can, and my daughter's life, et cetera.
You think there's ever going to be a point in time when you kick it back a notch and spend that, you know, 12 hours on a weekend to spend a video game, or is that something that's kind of just not in your interest?
I was just thinking that the other day, and you know, and this is kind of an interesting, low these last several years, man, it's just been kind of weird. I've not been able to like chill like that, because I'm always feeling like there's something I need to be doing. I feel like I'm always kind of in this fight or flight mode that just disallows me from really sitting back and chilling. A good friend of mine, shout out to Renee Martinez, he's a big fan of the shows that we've done and just the work I've been doing. He's like, man, you've been fucking kicking ass, dude. Do you ever get a chance to sit back and like, not to rest on your laurels or, you know, pat yourself on the back, but to kind of enjoy your successes? And that was kind of powerful, because I'm like, really? No, I haven't. Because I'm just constantly going and going. Like, I'm, you know, hours a day trying to book the show, produce the show, et cetera, et cetera. So I need to, and I was just thinking to myself yesterday, man, like, will I ever get to a point where I could do, you know, play games? Because I was talking to my friend the other day, it kind of got me, had the itch going for video games, but I'm like, you know how that can go. So I had to rein that in. But I'm to answer your question, I'm hoping so, man. I'm hoping so. It can't always be, like, again, life is too short, man. It can't always be about the next thing and always about the work. It's kind of, you know, I really need to start trying to really enjoy this moment right here now, and not so much worry about the future or what happened in the past, et cetera, et cetera. I really need to start enjoying the now more, I think.
Yeah,
and that could come in the shape of going on a video game bender. I'm not beyond it.
Yeah, because if that moment never comes, then you kick the can until it didn't exist.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what a lot of us do. And I don't want to fall into that.
What do you most often choose to ignore?
Choose to ignore. Up until a certain point, it was kind of health stuff. Up until kind of recently, it was health shit. Not that anything was going bad, but I'm 45, and it's just one of those things of, not that anything was necessarily going wrong. I just know you can't, not that I was eating super terrible or whatever, but I wasn't taking care of myself the best. And so anymore, I think that's much more of a priority for me. Just simply, you know, the older you get, the more shit starts going wrong. Knock on wood, no medications. I'm good to go. But I just know, you know, the older we get, you just got to maintain the vehicle a little more when you get up there.
Doesn't help to be around Pat all the time either, does it?
Yeah, it doesn't. It doesn't. It doesn't at all.
What do you hope people will say at your funeral?
What a dick. You know, that's hard to say, man. You know, it's kind of like being a parent. You don't get to say whether you were a good parent or not. That's something your kids get to say. So it's hard for me to say what other people will say of me because they might, you know, I don't know. What I hope they say.
I
mean, I hope to be known as a good guy, a pretty altruistic guy. You know, I try to be very considerate of other people, try to help other people when I can, or, you know, again, just golden rule it, man. Just do my best to try to golden rule it in life. Something in that vein of just like, man, Jeff was a pretty good guy, man. He went out of his way to do this, or, you know what I mean? Just something that shows a reflection of just my attempts to be a decent human being.
What are your favorite virtues? Or I should say, what is your favorite virtue?
I know it's kind of got a weird interpretation, but truth. I know everybody has kind of their different interpretation of truth, but truth.
To what faults do you feel most indulgent?
What faults mm-hmm. do I feel most indulgent?
Yeah, like what things do you do that are, you know, kind of putting a stick into your spokes that you keep doing? Like you want to stop, but you still do. Maybe it's the cheeseburger, you know, every Friday afternoon after work or something. I don't know.
It's kind of a weird thing because I often use this line during like job interviews. It's like, what's your biggest weakness? Well, I procrastinate a lot. Well, what's your biggest strength? I work well under pressure. So, but I mean, honestly, I wish I didn't kind of procrastinate as much as I do. As much as I do get done, oftentimes it has to go down under like deadline scenarios, kind of putting the pressure on me and putting myself against the wall. I wish sometimes I gave myself more time to get things put together, to do certain things. I mean, even going back to, like I said, when I was a kid, I just fucked off too. I mean, I kind of procrastinated getting my shit together. And I still kind of do that in smaller ways. Stuff still gets done, but it's not without its stressors.
Phenomenal. Well, that's the end of my list.
Sweet.
But that was great. Was there anything that you would have maybe added or taken off the list?
No, you did awesome, man. That was great. I just, you know, sometimes you get asked questions like that. You got to really search your brain sometimes because you just don't really get asked some of those questions all the time, but those are awesome. You did good, man.
Phenomenal. How did it feel going through them? Was it a little insightful, or did you learn anything about yourself answering them?
Yeah, I mean, a little bit. I mean, anytime you get questions that, you know, have you thinking introspectively, I mean, you gotta learn something about yourself. I mean, otherwise you're kind of closed off. But kind of thinking about, you know, stuff my parents taught me, or just, you know, like I said, like kind of with the show we do, it's like I really don't give myself time to like look back and think retrospectively enough. So when you ask certain questions, it's like, man,
where do you find the time the day to do that when you're at, you know, job and the family?
Yeah. I mean, honestly, those the kind of moments of kind of reflection like this, or asking certain questions, it really forces you to kind of think like, you know, wow, what have I learned in life? What is my favorite virtues, et cetera, et cetera. So, cause you just don't give it yet that much thought. I'm kind of just on autopilot most of the time, but yeah, very, very insightful questions, man.
Awesome. Well, Jeffrey, thank you so much for joining us on 13 Questions.
Thank you, bud. I appreciate it. Continued success, boss.
Thank you so much. And everybody, thank you for listening.
Thank you.
I don't want no whole word night, yo what? I don't want no whole word night. Why is one man rich and another man poor? Why we ain't satisfied? Why we gotta have more? Why your suicide rates on the rent so high? Why I tell you the truth, but you say don't lie? Why is being a good father at an all-time low? Why is it acceptable? Yo, why? I don't know. Why she blame him and he blame her? It's useless. Ask yourself this question. Why you making excuses? Why do parents gotta bury their kids? Why we text and drive, not caring how scary it is? Why it's so hard to forgive and leave the past behind? And if you did, then that's divine. Why don't you help your brother when you see him fall? Why do we act like God don't see it all? Why do we call them black, them white, them Asians and use labels? Now that's racism.
I don't want no Hawaii. I don't want no Hawaii. Yo, why? I don't want no Hawaii. Why? I don't want no Hawaii. Yo, why? I don't want no Hawaii. Why? I don't want no Hawaii. Yo, why? I don't want no Hawaii. Why? I don't want no Hawaii. Yo,
why is there innocent people locked up for life while some people can't say nothing nice? Why do we always gotta question what all of it means? And why won't you follow your dreams? Tell me why. The night when you took my dad, why'd you let me see my grandpa cry? And tell me why. And why do you choose to hide, even though you was born to fly? And tell me why. And why don't we turn from all the hate? And why don't we learn from all mistakes? Why do I keep on wrecking these fat beats? And teachers don't make more than professional athletes. And why?
This should be considered entertainment and not therapy. We hope you benefit from our resources available at 13questionspodcast.com. Thank you for listening.